95% of enterprise AI pilots deliver zero measurable ROI. Not because the AI can't execute, it can. Not because the data is bad, it usually isn't. Because nobody specified what the execution should achieve. The AI is waiting for a specification that was never written. And the reason it was never written is that the specification was never explicit to begin with. It was inside someone's head, running on tacit knowledge, invisible to everyone, including the person who held it. Three things today. First, the right question to ask about AI isn't what will it replace? It's what was the human actually doing? Second, why the tacit specification problem explains the 95% failure rate, not the technology. Third, three domains where the delegation boundary is actively being drawn right now: science, law, and organizations. The listener should finish with a single question to ask about every role on their team.
Sounds like we've got a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, we really do. And to really get our heads around this right off the bat, I want to paint a picture for you. Just like imagine a simple two-column diagram. So the left column is labeled execution, right? Yeah. This is your pattern matching, procedure following, your scheduling, your data formatting, just doing the thing.
The grind, basically.
Exactly. Now, the right column is labeled specification, and this is deciding what to measure. Choosing which dimensions actually matter. It's defining what good even looks like.
Right.
Now, draw a big arrow pointing to the entire left column, the execution side, and label that arrow AI absorbs.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Yeah. And finally, look back at the right column, the specification side. There's this little annotation next to it that reads, "This was always here. Now it has nowhere to hide."
That's such a perfect way to visualize it. Because, you know, the dominant discourse around AI right now is, well, it's just completely obsessed with the wrong unit of analysis.
Yeah. How so?
Well, everyone looks at the market and they ask, you know, what jobs will AI replace? But a job is just a social construct. It's a title we invented for HR purposes.
Right. Or a marketing manager or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Almost every professional role you can think of is actually this tightly wound bundle of two distinct things: execution, which is physically or, you know, computationally doing the task and specification.
Which is deciding what good looks like and why we're doing it in the first place.
Precisely. And we've just mushed them together for so long.
Let's ground this a bit for the listener, because we tend to assume that if someone is executing a task well, they must be operating from some clear written blueprint, right?
Right. Which is rarely the case.
Exactly. Think of like a master barista. You walk into this super high-end coffee shop and the barista pulls this just perfect shot of espresso.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a spreadsheet telling them the exact extraction time for like a specific humidity level on a Tuesday morning.
No, of course not.
They adjust the grind based on the feel of the beans, the weather outside, or think of a senior brand strategist reviewing an ad campaign. They don't run a mathematical formula. They rely on gut instinct to say, no, that imagery feels wrong for our brand.
Right. They're weighing dozens of perceptual dimensions implicitly.
Yeah.
And what you're describing in both of those cases is tacit specification.
Tacit specification. Okay.
Yeah. The human is defining the parameters of the task in real time. But because those parameters were never formally written down in some manual, we simply assumed they were an inherent part of the execution.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we just rolled the specification and the execution into this single kind of vague concept called expertise.
Right. We just say, oh, she's an expert. We don't say she has a highly tuned internal specification matrix.
Exactly. So when a company decides to, you know, implement an AI pilot to save time or money, they look at a workflow. They see the execution happening, the code being written, the emails being drafted, the reports being generated.
And they think, great, the AI can totally do that.
Right. So they hand the AI the execution tools, completely failing to provide the specification, and the AI runs the process flawlessly.
I mean, it's incredibly fast at it.
It is. It generates an output that is technically proficient. But the output is entirely misaligned with the business goal because the goal itself was never explicitly parameterized.
It's like handing a world-class construction crew just like an unlimited pile of bricks and saying, build something great, but refusing to give them a blueprint because the architect just has a vibe in their head about what the building should look like.
That's a great analogy. The crew will build a structure very quickly.
But it probably won't have doors where you need them.
Right. The human who used to do the job was constantly course correcting based on unwritten rules in their head. The AI doesn't have access to those unwritten rules.
So that's the 95% failure rate right there. It's not the tech. It's the missing blueprint.
Exactly. And to understand just how critical it is to make these specifications explicit, We really have to look at what happens when AI enters high-stakes domains.
Okay, where the specification is incomplete.
Yes. Let's look at the structure of legal judgment.
Oh, man. High stakes for sure.
Right. Justice is an incredibly high-dimensional concept. When we talk about justice in a society, we are talking about fairness, proportionality, rehabilitation, deterrence, intense social context.
It's huge. It's a massive, complex space.
It is. But the codified law, the actual rules written in the penal code, is a low-dimensional, lossy compression of justice.
Okay, wait. I want to push back on this premise just a little bit.
Go for it.
Because we have this ideal in society, right? Justice is blind. We usually treat that as a feature, not a bug. Human judges are incredibly flawed. They get tired. They get hungry. They carry, you know, subconscious biases about race or class or appearance.
Very true.
So if we strip away all that messy human context and boil a case down to just the act committed and the dollar amount stolen, are we optimizing for fairness? Like, if an AI strictly applies those low-dimensional rules without bias, doesn't that make the system significantly better?
Well, you're assuming the only things dropped into what we call the null space are negative biases.
Null space.
Yeah. The null space swallows everything the system is not designed to measure. Every single evaluation system has a null space. It's the set of realities it structurally cannot see.
Okay, so what else gets dropped?
When you compress the high-dimensional concept of justice into a low-dimensional law, you might drop racial bias, sure, but you also drop the context of, say, a mother stealing food for a starving child.
Oh. Well.
You drop the potential for rehabilitation. You drop the community impact. When a human judge encounters a case that lives heavily in that null space, they feel the cognitive dissonance.
That's why a judge will look at a defendant and say, "My hands are tied. The law requires a mandatory minimum sentence."
Exactly. They know something critical is missing from the evaluation.
Because the human judge is a high-dimensional observer being forced to operate a low-dimensional tool. They can see the full picture, but they're only allowed to paint with, like, two colors.
Beautifully put. Now, introduce a sentencing algorithm into that exact same system. The algorithm is trained on historical legal data. It learns the codified law perfectly, which means the algorithm flawlessly inherits the null space of the law it was trained on. But unlike the human judge, the algorithm does not feel the mismatch between the law and true justice.
It doesn't have that "my hands are tied" moment.
Never. If the legal specification drops the dimension of intent or context, the algorithm drops it to consistently, flawlessly, at scale, and with absolutely no visible discomfort.
Wow. So specifying which dimensions of justice actually matter isn't a computation problem at all.
Not even little.
Because an AI can compute the mathematical weights of a million variables in a fraction of a second. But choosing which variables should be in the model to begin with, deciding that rehabilitation matters just as much as punishment, that is a values commitment.
Yes.
And an AI cannot make a values commitment.
Exactly. The system will blindly optimize for whatever dimensions you gave it, and it will completely ignore the null space. It doesn't even know the null space exists.
That's genuinely chilling. So in the legal system, the null space swallows human values and context. But what happens when the dimensions we drop into the null space are, like, actual physical reality?
Well, we can actually trace how this exact same dimensional collapse happens in scientific research.
Let's do it. Let's look at science.
In science, this manifests as the metamerism problem.
Metamerism.
Yes. It's a concept from optics, where two physically different light sources look identical to the human eye because of how our retinas compress the light.
Oh, wait. Is this like when you buy a sweater and it looks black in the store, but you walk outside into the sunlight and suddenly it's navy blue?
That is exactly it, yes.
Yeah.
The lighting in the store compresses the visual information. In the scientific community, we see this exact phenomenon with journal prestige.
Really? How?
You can have two research papers published in the same top-tier journal. They both receive the exact same prestige signal.
Right. If you're looking at a researcher's resume, both papers just say Nature 2026. They look identical to the observer.
Now, structurally, however, they might be complete opposites. Paper A might be methodologically bulletproof with a massive sample size, but it offers only a tiny incremental novelty to the field.
Uh-huh.
While paper B might be theoretically groundbreaking, suggesting a whole new paradigm, but it relies on a fragile, highly questionable data set. The scientific evaluation system takes this multidimensional reality, novelty, rigor, reproducibility, data quality, and collapses it into a single scalar score. Accepted.
So the single score is blind to the structural differences. The nuances of the research fall straight into the null space.
Exactly. And this severely limits what AI can do in the realm of scientific discovery if we don't radically change how we specify knowledge.
Let's bring in the William Farr example from our sources for this deep dive, because I thought this was fascinating.
It perfectly illustrates the point.
So William Farr was this brilliant epidemiologist in the 19th century, right? And he collected massive amounts of data on air quality, elevation, temperature, and cholera outbreaks in London. But he was working under the miasma theory, the prevailing idea at the time that bad air caused disease.
Right. So his entire mental model, his specification for the disease, was built exclusively around measuring the air.
Just the air.
Now imagine you took an incredibly powerful modern machine learning system and trained it exclusively on Farr's data set. Machine learning operates through mathematical optimization, often something like gradient descent.
Right, navigating a landscape looking for the lowest point of error.
Yes, but that landscape is entirely constructed from the parameters it was explicitly given. The AI would build a brilliant multidimensional map of air density, elevation, and cholera deaths. It would predict outbreaks within that framework far better than Farr's ever could.
But, and this is the crazy part, the AI would never discover that cholera is actually transmitted by contaminated water.
Never.
No matter how much compute power you throw at it, it will never find the water pump on Broad Street. Why? Because the machine cannot conjure a variable that is not present in its training schema.
Exactly. Water was not a dimension in Farr's specification. The AI cannot discover what is outside its specified framework because it doesn't have the conceptual geometry to even ask the question.
It's blind to it.
Completely blind. And this limitation is the driving force behind the paper spec movement that's gaining traction right now.
I wanted to ask about that. What is paper spec?
The movement argues that we have to stop treating scientific papers as implicit, static PDF documents meant for human reading.
Yeah.
And start treating them as explicit, machine-readable repositories.
So like actual code.
Yes. Yeah. We're talking about moving to a paper.yaml file that explicitly specifies the truth claims, the methodological dependencies, and most importantly, the falsification conditions.
So instead of a human peer reviewer having to parse 20 pages of dense academic prose just to figure out what the paper is actually claiming, the claims are isolated in pure code.
Right.
The file just says, claim one is this specific interaction. It depends on the validity of claim two. It is falsified if variable X drops below this threshold.
Exactly. And AI is fantastic at executing the review of the data. It can check the math, verify the statistical significance, and test the internal consistency of the claims instantly.
But the human must specify the dimensions to measure.
Yes. The human scientist has to define, these are the truth claims that matter, and this is the specific threshold required to prove them.
So we've seen this delegation boundary drawn in law, where human judges and lawmakers must specify the dimensions of justice. And we've seen it in science, where human researchers must specify the dimensions of a hypothesis.
Right.
Now, we need to bring this directly into your world. How does this delegation boundary apply to you, the listener, in your daily work inside an organization?
We can actually map this using organizational schema theory, or OST, alongside another framework called specification boundary theory, or SBT.
Okay, unpack those for us.
OST breaks down the structure of any business into a specification cascade that flows from level 0 down to level 5. AI in the workplace can automate processes with terrifying efficiency, but it cannot specify which processes should exist.
Let's make this cascade incredibly tangible. Imagine you work for a major streaming service, a company whose entire business relies on data, software, and user experience. Walk us through L0 down to L5 for that business.
Okay, good example. So at the very top, you have L0. This is the core customer contract. For a streaming service, L0 is the fundamental promise. We will provide you with seamless, high-quality entertainment with zero friction in discovering what you want to watch.
It's the whole reason the business exists.
Exactly. Now, L1 is a product specification that fulfills that contract, the decision to build a specific app interface or, you know, a new personalized recommendation engine.
So L0 is the why and L1 is the what?
Perfect way to put it. Moving down, L2 is the process architecture. This defines how content gets ingested, tagged, and served to the user.
Okay, getting more granular.
Right. L3 represents the actual workflow instructions, the routines for deploying code updates or running quality assurance on the video files. L4 is the data schemas, like the databases tracking user viewing history and preferences.
And then L5.
Finally, L5 is the raw infrastructure, the physical cloud servers and network pipes delivering the data.
Okay, so if we apply specification boundary theory here, it maps exactly where the handoff between human and machine occurs.
It does.
And AI can monitor the L5 cloud servers for outages. It can optimize the L4 databases to retrieve viewing history faster. It can perfectly execute the L3 workflow instructions to deploy code. It might even suggest optimizations for the L2 process architecture based on efficiency metrics.
Yes, exactly.
But the AI is fundamentally incapable of setting L0.
Right. The AI cannot decide what the business is or what promise it should make to the world. It cannot decide that the streaming service should, say, pivot to live sports instead of movies.
Because that is a values-based specification.
Precisely. AI absorbs execution from the bottom up, from L5 reaching toward L2.
This is the crucial paradigm shift. The delegation boundary is not a line drawn between human jobs on one side and AI jobs on the other.
That is the great misconception of our time. The boundary is drawn within every single role in the organization.
So if you are a marketing manager, it's not that your entire job goes to an AI while the creative director stays human. It's that the execution part of your role, pulling the analytics, formatting the reports, scheduling the campaigns, goes to the AI.
Right.
But the specification part, deciding which audience sentiment actually matters for this quarter's brand trust, that stays human.
Execution goes to AI. Specification stays human. The fatal issue, returning to our 95% failure rate we talked about at the start, is that most people's specifications are deeply tacit. Mm-hmm. They've never explicitly written down their L's or L1. They just show up to work and execute L3 tasks, guided by an invisible internal compass.
And when an enterprise AI takes over the execution layers, if you cannot articulate your compass, you are left with nothing to manage.
We're left standing there empty-handed.
Tomorrow morning, I want you to look at every single role on your team. Look closely at your own role. Ask yourself, what is this person explicitly specifying versus what are they merely executing? The specification part is your moat. It is the irreplaceable human core of the job. The execution part is exactly what AI is going to absorb. If you cannot articulate your specification, if you can't write it down in clear parameters, you don't actually have one. And the arrival of AI is going to reveal that gap very, very painfully.
Specification remains human, not because AI lacks the capability to generate rules, but because specification is the act of deciding what matters. That is a commitment. And commitments require accountability. You can delegate execution, but you cannot delegate accountability.
If you want to see the delegation boundary in a specific high-stakes domain, episode 22 traces it through legal judgment, where the stakes are someone's freedom. Episode 4 shows how the SBT and OST frameworks connect at this exact boundary.